from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth.
Comments and views expressed on the Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, the Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. You know, I'm aware of the fact that you could be doing a million other things, and you've chosen to be here. I want you to know I appreciate it. We're here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. We run into stuff every day. We run into people every day that give us all kinds of signals that tell us, hey, you know what, you don't matter. All that stuff is nonsense. It's lies. You do matter. If you didn't matter, the cosmos would have already canceled your ticket. You're here because you're important, and we're here because you matter. Tonight is K-Files night, and that means that immediately following the show tonight, I will begin sending out the K-Files. Now, the K-Files, that's our free weekly newsletter. And if you're not subscribed to it, if you're not getting it, then, well, you know, we have a little saying sometimes, if you're not getting it, you're not getting it. So go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And click right there on the link that says K-Files. You can't miss it. It's right in the middle of your screen. Big letters says K-Files. Click that. And subscribe. You'll get an email with a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. Just do that, and you're good to go. Now, if you do that before the end of the show tonight, you'll get this edition of the K-Files. If you wait till after the show, I'm not sure you'll get it. Okay, you may have to wait till next week. But anyway, take care of that right now. It's absolutely free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest on the show by the name of Chris Brown. Now, he had really one of the most amazing stories of an encounter, a couple of encounters with a UFO. But when Chris came on, his telephone just it acted up so much, we had a very difficult time trying to get through the show. He worked with it. He did a good job. But it was really hard for him, for me, and really it was hard for you listening. So I told him after the show, Chris, we're going to get you back on. I want people to hear your story. And so he's back with us tonight, and we're using different technology to connect us. But now I want to warn you. We are getting hit over on the radio side. All right? We are getting hit, and they're cutting us off and killing the stream and doing all kinds of strange stuff to us. We are doing everything we can to deal with that. Now, it's been a while since we went through all of that. One time we were having that happen to us, and it was another radio show that was having somebody do that. Another time we had that happen to us, and probably was a government agency. Kind of traced back Well, I won't say any more. But anyway, I apologize to our affiliate stations. There's nothing I can do except keep starting the stream again. We'll find out who's doing it. We'll nail them, and we'll identify them on the air, just like we always have. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chris Brown.
Hi, this is Kevin Smith. If you plan on dashing through the snow during this holiday season, let's back up and reconsider. Start early. Go slow, keep it safe, and forget that dashing stuff.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest tonight is Chris Brown. He listens to the show, and he's one of my friends on Facebook, and he's part of our series of shows that we have been doing along over the past 3 or 4 months called Real People. And we'll bring him on in just a second. But I promised you, those of you who listened to the show last night, I promised you I would give you an update about our guest last night, Pat Marcatilio, because into the second hour of the show, in fact, we only had about, 18 minutes left in the show, he was disconnected. There was a question asked by one of our callers, and Pat Marcatilio was just disconnected. And if you heard the show, you heard me trying to call him back. I tried and tried and tried. When I first began trying to call him back, I would get a dial tone. I would dial the number, and then I would get a dial tone again. All right, so then I waited a few minutes and tried again, and I got voicemail. Well, I've been trying all day today, and I get voicemail. That's all I get. I don't know what to tell you. It was something very odd, something very strange, and I certainly hope that Pat Marcatilio is okay. I hope there was nothing, no serious, like, sudden emergency health situation or something like that. But that's the update. I'm sorry, there's not much news except that. I still can't get in touch with him, and I don't know why. Now, when Chris Brown was with us a few weeks back, two or three weeks back, we had Chris with us. And we had very weird stuff happening with the telephones because he and I had talked on the telephone, the same telephone lines prior to the show, and everything was just fine. And then we went on the air. And he kept getting cut off. I don't know what to tell you. We are hearing, though, that people who are speaking about UFO experiences, UFO encounters, are experiencing this kind of weird stuff when they try to tell their story. And as I told you, just as we went on the air, just before we went on the air tonight, 7 minutes before airtime, all of a sudden, our streams on the radio station died, and it all had to be restarted. Since we have been on the air, since we went on the air tonight, the radio streams died, and now that I'm talking about it, they just did it again. Okay? So those who are listening by radio are experiencing lots of frustration, and so am I. I'm watching the monitor over here that tells me all about the system, and the streams just die. On the TV station, everything is cool. Okay, on the TV station, the stream has not died. Okay, the radio streams are back with us. So, folks, on the radio stream, We are getting hit over there. I don't know who. I don't know why. One of our affiliate stations was hit hard this week as well. You know, all I can tell you is we must be hitting a lot of nails right on the head. And it's got somebody nervous. Well, they need to get their head ready for some more hitting tonight. We're going to hit some nails on the head again tonight. I would like to introduce to you Chris Brown, who tonight is speaking to us from his home. And it will be up to him whether he tells us where his home is or not. But we are decidedly glad to have him back with us tonight after all that stuff we went through last time. So, Chris, welcome back to the show. And we're just going to pretend that we never even heard your story.
Perfect. Perfect. Because we're definitely having a hard time there. Everything was going good, and it was about the last three words of everything you said just buzzed out.
Yeah.
So I was trying to piece it all together.
Well, I don't know. Strange things are happening. They just hit the radio stream again. And I guess, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, okay, well, we'll report this and we'll get a federal investigation into it, when you kind of suspect that's who's doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're not. Well, you know, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But Chris, your story is really a very interesting and very captivating story. It is the story about you, and in one case, you and your son having an encounter right there at your home in your front yard with a UFO. And I think we ought to just pretend we haven't even heard this story, haven't even told this story, because we had so much trouble last time trying to get the story out. So let's go back to August the 18th and tell us what happened, and you know, what did you see? What did you experience?
Actually, it was on the 15th, but it was, I was out watering my yard. It was 9 o'clock. I'm just in a small town outside of Salem, Oregon. And I was pulling out, my hose, stretching it out because it had kinks, and I pulled it out in the road. And when I pulled it out in the road, and I noticed some blue and red lights.
Uh-huh.
Didn't take it in, didn't really think much of it. They were really big, actually, as far as the length in between them. You would have thought it was a neighborhood. And so I didn't think anything of it. So I watered for another 25, 30 minutes. And I had pulled back my hose again to stretch it out to do the other half. And then that is when I got out in the street again and could really see it. And it was almost like I almost wasn't even looking to see if it was there, just because I didn't really notice it before. But it was just so big, so massive, it was just there.
Okay. Now, again, this was what, about 9 p.m. at night?
9 p.m., yeah. I would actually say, I'd say about 9:25.
Uh-huh. And what was your reaction to it? You looked, you saw these lights. What happened?
It was shock. You know, it was shock. It really was rub your eyes and pinch yourself. What am I seeing? Because I was in disbelief. I kept trying to tell myself, but there just was no doubt what I was seeing.
Uh-huh.
And so that's when I had ran out in the middle, kind of straight in the road, and got kind of more of a better look out of it. And that's when I noticed that, like, the big glass bubble, as one thing I remember on top of it, was this gigantic, and it, you know, I'm going to say glass, but I'm not even going to tell you it's glass, because it was something else. And, but then it, like, seemed real blurry all of a sudden, like things got real blurry, and I got like kind of a warm feeling on my stomach, kind of a like you're going to go down a roller coaster type of feeling when you go down a hill real fast, and you get that in your stomach, you know, that feeling just for a second. And so I had ran then across the other side of the street to get it kind of a little better look, and by this time I could see it move, but it just did a little bit at first, but then it moved back and forth. I wouldn't say judge of maybe 10 feet or something I could judge, but then I'd ran down to the stop sign, which is approximately, I'd say 50 yards down, and tried to get a better view because it's getting out of the trees there that are kind of in the way. And that's when I moved, and it moved three times real gracefully, just back and forth. It was behind some trees, small line of trees. Actually, they aren't really small line of trees, but compared to that, they were. And it went three times back and forth, I'd say 30 feet. And on the third time, it took off east toward Macaulay Mountain, which is a mountain here that people go hunting and camping.
Okay, Chris, let me interrupt for just a minute and ask you to do something sort of technical for us. Can you scoot to your left just a little bit? There we go. Yeah, that puts you in the center of the screen. Now we can put you up on, hopefully we can put you up on the screen for the TV channel.
Exactly.
All right, there we go. All right, so this thing moved three times back and forth, and then it took off towards the mountain.
It took off toward the mountain. And so I at that point in time, it was low enough when it went past the trees and kind of in the little valley there behind them in the mountains, and when it took off, and I couldn't see because the houses and stuff, and so I find myself running back, you know, thinking that I'm going to be able to see it possibly rise or something. It kind of was my only, unless you live here, kind of the only way I could go to hope to get a sight on it.
Uh-huh.
And
so how big do you think this thing was?
Close to the size of an aircraft carrier. That's as crazy as that is. That's a fair estimate.
It was huge.
It was massive. It was so big that it swamped the trees that are good 200 feet themselves, just this little row of trees. And it's not even small trees, you know, we're Oregon here. And from what I could just see it cover as it was going by, as it was taking off, more of it was going by. So, and I didn't see the other side, of course, to see exactly how much of the circumference it was, but it just kept going. And I always look at that every time I drive out now, and I'm looking down the road, of course, and I look there, and it's just so, I mean, gosh, I couldn't even describe the size. And the height, I don't know. I couldn't describe on the height that it wasn't a real tall structure,
mm-hmm.
as far as what it was made out of, you know.
All right, so could you tell anything about the shape of it? Was it like a cigar shape, or was it round shape? Or
it was a round, it was a disc, and it had the bottom lights were blue and red, and they were kind of going simultaneous, counterclockwise, excuse me, from each other.
Uh-huh.
And then there was other little lights and stuff around it. And then there was, like I say, there was the big bubble on top of it, the big glass-looking bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, that was what really I'm thinking there that really caught me the most was the lights on it, just because it got me in perspective of how big it was.
All right, so how far downrange was it from you? In other words, if you got in your car and drove from where you were to where it was, how far would you have driven?
Oh, probably a mile and mile and a half. So it's why I just live in fields all around me. So when I pull out my driveway, when I look down my road, it's just nothing but my end of my road and then just the mountains. And and a big field. So I'd say a good mile and a half, you know, maybe two.
All right, so when this thing takes off toward the mountain, obviously it couldn't just keep going toward the mountain or it would have crashed into the mountain. What did it do?
Well, I couldn't see it when it moved. Because when it moved, it went, it was low, so it went past, and then I got the houses and stuff in my neighborhood, and it was, and trees, of course, and it's hard for me to see it because it just was kind of out of my view. So that's when I had ran back to try to find air, open sky to find. It's the only thing I could think of because I was kind of in a thick of trees. And then I pulled out. Meanwhile, I was trying to Wi-Fi this when I first had seen it. My hands were shaking horrible. I was on this iPod and this touch pad. It's, you know, I pushed the wrong button and it ended up going to some other setting. And then so I gave up on that and I tried to Wi-Fi my friend and it was still stuck on the same setting. And then that's when I pretty much gave up. And then that's when I went and I noticed right above me was a dot, just a little like an orb, a dot, and fly above me in space. And it definitely wasn't in air, it was in space. It looked like a star. And I couldn't tell you how fast it was going, but, you know, I mean, easily a good 10 times the speed of sound, I would imagine.
Is it possible that that was a satellite going over, or was it moving in some way that told you that's not a satellite?
Well, that is possible. It could have been a satellite, but, you know, it seemed like that was just a separate deal. I mean, what had happened after that, it just wasn't going to be a satellite, because what had happened is I lost sight of it. When I went to go and I tried to Wi-Fi again, and then I lost sight of it, and I was looking in that area, and then that's when I went and I lost. That's when I noticed it came around the house. I don't know. For all I know, it could have been a different one, and it was a orb, or just a bright star at that point in time. It looked like, and it went over the neighborhood, probably about maybe 100 or so feet. And all the dogs barked at this point in time. It's all just started barking. And I was trying to kind of, at that point, I think I was still trying to figure out the iPod. But I just gave up. It went over here and all the dogs, even my dog inside the house, all barked at the same time. It was like a gunshot. And so it went over here into the other field, and it sat right over there. Actually, it hovered over where all the dogs were barking. And then it got real bright, and then it just disappeared.
Now, you're talking about this orb that you saw after you saw the big disc.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really couldn't tell you even if it was an orb, because it almost didn't look like it. It looked like it was maybe a disc or something of a smaller structure of something. It didn't.
Okay. We're going to have to step away for a break. We'll come back and pick up more of this story from our guest this evening, Chris Brown, after this break. All right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas music. I think we got some more coming up this hour, too. And, of course, as we get closer to Christmas, we'll add some more. It's a good time for me to remind you that giving someone a membership in our members community is a great Christmas gift. Why don't you do that? I think whoever you give it to is going to be absolutely thrilled. You get a lot of value, and it's not expensive. All right, our guest this evening is Chris Brown. And when we went away, we were hearing about this UFO encounter that he had. And basically it was in his front yard one night back in August, August the 15th. And Chris, I'm a little bit unclear, and I want to sort of clarify here. After the disc flies away towards the mountain, then you tried to get in touch with a friend. Your telephone wasn't working right, or you weren't pushing the right buttons or something anyway. So you go back out and you look, and you see this bright orb moving across the sky. And it's high enough that you think it's in space. But then, if I understood, you said it came down. Is that right?
Yeah. I lost sight of that one.
Okay.
And then it could have been another one, or it could have been the same one.
Okay, gotcha.
And then that's what came over my neighborhood just shortly after, you know, within seconds, you know.
So you actually sort of had at least a double encounter that night.
Yeah. Guess, sure.
Okay, now, did you tell your family about that?
Yeah, I told my family, and I made a little bit of fool out of myself, and I told a few people on the block because it was just so big and so massive, and I just thought, well, gosh, someone had to see this, and it was early enough. And so I told her. She was skeptical, you know, didn't really know what to believe.
You're talking about your wife? You're talking about your wife?
Yeah.
All right, so then just a few days later, that was on the 15th. I think it was on the 27th, mm-hmm. You had another encounter. Again, you're in your front yard.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
I was out watching movies Friday night, and it was late, and when we were done, it was probably quarter to midnight, and my son wanted to go out with me and water the front yard. Well, actually, I kind of dragged him out there because kind of was afraid of dark a little bit at that point in time. But anyway, he came out there and to do his little bit of sky watching because I've had my camera out and I've been ready. And so he kind of was looking out on the sky and while I was watering, and just sitting there, I just was, you know, the whole week or, you know, the whole last 2 weeks or whatever in between, I just was praying for it to come back, wanting it to come back. So I got my camera, of course. And so he's wanting to go in, and I said, no, almost done. It'll be done in a few minutes. Got done in a few minutes, and I said, okay, well, I don't look like we're going to see anything tonight. I wish this thing would just come down and show us detail. And within probably about 5 seconds, approximately after that, a pop, like a 4th of July, poppers, the string poppers.
Yeah.
But a louder, but not real loud, not loud enough that people would open up the door or whatever. And with a bright flash, and, you know, just was thinking at that point in time, first thought was Transformer went out. And then all of a sudden, right next to us, going by at a pace of maybe a fast walk, was this green and blue and white bubble. And it was about the size of a semi-truck tire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was spinning backwards, and it was it was going forward, and it was going over the part where they had torn up the road 2 summers ago, and they put in the cable, new cable wire, and they went, and you could see it. It was making a noise, and in the middle of it was this glass ball. I mean, and it just didn't look like glass, but it was a crystal-like ball about the size of a basketball. And in the middle of that was this glowing red liquid. This glowing red. It was, that's what took us in, was that. That in this round glass ball or whatever it was in it. And it was spinning. As it was spinning, the red stuff was in a teardrop, and it went by us probably about 25 feet away. It went over the manhole in the street with the iron plate, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And it hit that, and it arced, and it shot up because the power line happened to be right there. And it hit that, and then it was gone.
Okay, it hit the power line?
It hit the power line. It must have arced off of that again because sparks came off of the fuse box up on the very top of the power line, or power pole, that big box there. And it looked like right going in there, there was, and it made the same popping noise that it made when we first heard it. When it hit the manhole plate and it arced, it made the same exact noise.
Okay, so it hits the manhole cover, and mm-hmm. when you say it arced, you mean there were sparks that flew?
Yeah, it was sparks, and it shot off.
Okay. And as it's going up, it hits the power line.
It's the power line.
And that arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the popping sound there. Mm-hmm. And then what happens to it?
Well, you couldn't. Just was gone. This was completely gone. And, you know, I couldn't see anything. And at that point in time, my wife had a friend over.
Uh-huh.
And she had just came out within, gosh, it had just been seconds that she had just came out. And my first thought was, wow, you know, she's seen it. And she didn't see anything. She was leaving.
Yeah.
So this is just all fresh, and
your son saw it, though.
Yeah, he was right there. He seen it, and didn't say anything really to her. Kind of just didn't really want to say. It was just fresh. I guess I was in shock. It was such a crazy thing. I didn't want to say anything, and I can't remember. I kind of mentioned something to her, and she's like, "Oh, wow." And so she takes off, and right about that time, the girl next door came home, and which I kind of had forgot on the first sighting. Go back. I told her mom, and her mom had told her, which is her daughter, and her daughter came over in a panic and had told me her friends had seen that same disc up there at the mountain, Macaulay Mountain.
Okay, so the first sighting.
Yeah.
There were other witnesses.
Yeah, so this is the first time I really had her to pin her down and talk to her exactly all what they had seen. And so I ended up going, and she kind of was just kind of saying, yeah, kind of what they seen, and they wouldn't get phone. They couldn't get phone service, of course. And they just went and packed up and went home when they seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they... as she was telling me, my son wasn't saying anything, and he was up there about 50 feet from us, was a disc, a big, I would say big, according to him, but not real big, and it just sat over the neighbor's place, probably about 50 feet, and I asked him, and he said, oh, about 5 seconds, and it's like, huh, and he goes, yeah, about 5 seconds, he says, And he said he could see the big glass bubble in it too, and he could see the look like pretty much probably like the liquid in a way, but it would be going back and forth like that on the disc, and with the three dots, he said. And then he went, and as we seen a disc go, there was apparently another one above it. He said there was two of them. There was one above it. And so he ended up going, and it shot off. And when it shot off, her and I were talking because we were looking the other way, and we all went, wow, at the same time. Even though my boy had been sitting there staring at it for 5 seconds, and her and I had just seen it shoot by. But it was so fast, Kevin, that you didn't even have time for your brain to even go, wow, before the other person, you know, in the sense, because it was just so fast. And then it just, after that, it took off, and then we just left our sight. And then so she had went home and tried to get her mom out, and she didn't see anything. We sat out there for a while. I didn't sit out there too much longer after that. Let's just say that.
Uh-huh.
And then we just came back in. And, of course, just got on the computer telling my buddies about it. And took in a lot of things about it when I seen it. We were able to take in how it worked and how we seen it pulling off power. And how, of course, it shot off. And it seemed like when they zigzagged, they went and were zigzagging around the block. Like if they were maybe using the power lines, is kind of like a perfect scenario, perfect, you know, I guess you could say like a Tron in a little bit when they're on the motorcycles in there, and it just is the perfect line. And I believe that's how they shoot around, these perfect angles and all that, and these precision quick turns is them running off of these power lines.
All right. Have you, since the August 27th event, have you had any further sightings of these things, or is that it? There hasn't been anything else?
That's it. That's been the only sighting.
So August the 15th through August the 27th seems like a pretty active period. Mm-hmm. You had at least two separate encounters the first night. And one of those encounters, the big disc, there were other witnesses that saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then August 27th, you and your son see this amazing orb about the size of a semi truck tire.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing since then. What do you think was going on between August the 15th and August the 27th in your part of the world that might have attracted the attention of those objects?
Well, you know, for one thing...
Okay, I tell you what, we have a break that just took over. Sorry about that. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to step away for break, and then we shall return right after this. We'll get the answer to that question. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, the antics of the hacker is they're still going on, and the radio stream is still being interrupted, still having to restart. But I guarantee you will get to hear this show in its entirety, and you can do that on the weekend. This weekend, the best of Kevin Smith at Indy 104. They do that every weekend, so at showtime. Whatever time this show comes on in your area, go to indy104.com, and you're going to hear the two most interrupted shows this week. All right? In their entirety. Oh, there they go again. And it's fun. But like I said, to the moron that's doing it, please understand, we've had people just like you before. We will track you down. And I will make your life a living hell. You may think I can't. I would suggest you go check with others who have done it. I would suggest you go check with the with your commanding officer. Find out. I will identify where it's coming from, and I'll give the address where you're based. Don't think I won't. All right, Chris Brown is with us, and we are talking about something somebody doesn't want you to hear, and that is UFO activity up in the Northwest. When they do this sort of thing, Chris, it's always my opinion that it works just like if they took a yellow highlighter and put it over everything you say. They're trying to keep people from hearing it, but they're putting a highlighter over it, and people are focused. They know you're talking about something that's got to be real, or nobody would be messing with us. There's been no trouble at all over on another stream, and that's good. We want to keep it that way. But what that means, though, is they are not hitting us here. They are not hitting us on our connection here. We're being hit out there somewhere. All right, Chris, I had asked you if you think that there was anything going on in the area that would have attracted this UFO activity at the time. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It was in the dead summertime, and I don't know if the grass had a lot of magnetic effect out there that was able to help give these more of a power I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Now, did you make a report of this to MUFON?
Yeah, yes I did.
And did you provide them with any drawings or anything?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Did MUFON say anything about this? I mean, has anybody interviewed you about this?
Yeah, they came to my house, two investigators and the
director?
The director. That's what I'm trying to say. And he's been out here and gotten pictures and all that, and then checked the road to see if there's any radiation or anything left over, and there wasn't. And, of course, he didn't go out in that big field where, you know, there very well could have been something out there. And, they came over and they did a full report. Matter of fact, they did a special report on their website, because they usually don't do monk stories. It's more video and pictures, but it was something that it was far different than the normal sightings. So they were able to help me out and put our drawings, which aren't the best, but my son's is better than mine. But yeah,
that's the way it is. Kids can usually draw better than us. I don't know why.
That's for sure.
Okay, let's talk about your son for a minute. He's 9 years old. Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he's right here, too.
Oh, have him wave at us.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so your son... he sees this orb out in the front yard. He's out there with you. This orb passes by very close to you. He sees it. Has this affected him in any way? Has it had an impact on him?
A bit. I'd say it has had an impact.
I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, we did. What kind of an effect has... what's your son's name?
Colton.
Colt, what kind of an effect has it had on you?
Well, seems like I've gotten, somehow smarter.
Okay. All right. Have you talked to any of your friends at school about it?
Well, not really. I'm just trying to keep it between us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, has it had an effect on you?
Yeah, it's had a big effect on me. I really have kind of just been, you know, consumed with it now. It's really hard to get out of my head. It's gotten better, and talking about it helps coming on here and being able to talk about it, because it's such a thing that you just can't go up and talk to people about it and say, hey, you know, this is, and because you know they're gonna throw me in the loony bin. I mean, so
how does it feel discovering that most of America are morons?
Yeah, well, that's definitely a wake-up call, yeah.
Now, I will get lots of email from people about that, and they'll tell me, well, if you don't love America, just leave it. I love it enough to tell the truth about it.
Just in Oregon. So.
Well, you know, when you've got generals and that have seen UFOs and have gone on record saying so, and you've got astronauts, and you've got people that, you know, are military pilots. I mean, people like this that have seen them, that have filmed them, that have chased them in their jets. And then you compare that with the mushrooms living down here on terra firma and that say, well, I can't believe you'd believe in any UFOs. I mean, that's just nutty. You know, well, ladies and gentlemen, there's just no other description for that except morons. These things exist. We don't know what they are. That's why we call them UFO, unidentified flying object. We don't know what they are. Okay, but they do exist. And, you know, there are people that ask the dumbest question that can ever be asked. Do you believe in UFOs? Well, why would you believe? I mean, you don't believe in doorknobs. You don't believe in your shoes. They just exist. And UFOs just exist. Where are they from? I don't know. Who's driving them? I don't know. That's why we call them UFOs, unidentified flying objects. We're going to have to step out of here for a break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to open up the telephone lines to allow you to call in and talk with Chris. Maybe you've had an experience, something similar, or you've got a question or comment. Well, you'll have your chance here on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Chris Brown. If you're joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. Chris and I are having absolutely no problems communicating this evening. So far, that's a good thing. But the radio stream has been getting hit all during the show. It started at 7 minutes before the show, and it's been happening all during the show. So, you know, I apologize for those who are trying to listen to the show via internet or radio or your mobile device. I know it's frustrating for you. I'm doing my best to keep getting us back on air when we get hit. We have something in place to track it down. And I will track it down, and I will identify on the air once we finally make the identification who it was. We'll identify it publicly on the air as I've done before. And I can suggest to you, if you're getting a government paycheck, that whoever's doing this, if you get a government paycheck, or if you get a paycheck from a contractor who's doing it for the government, understand, they don't pass out raises. They don't pass out promotions once I put the spotlight on you. It's coming. All right. Chris Brown has been talking with us about his amazing experience with these UFOs. And we don't want that on the screen. Okay. But we want to open up the telephone lines now and allow you, if you wish to make a comment or ask a question, we want you to have the opportunity to do that. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, you give us a call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can either call that number or use an additional option we have for you called a flash message. To use that, go to my website and scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. And right above that picture is a link that says flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Chris, as far as people thinking that you're a lunatic or maybe a lunatic, just remember, in both of these sightings, you had witnesses that saw the same thing that you were witnessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely makes me feel a lot better. And actually, that right there is prompted me to come out and talk about it, because if it was just me, even on the orb coming by me, I wouldn't have came out and said anything. But like you said, I had people there, and so, which that makes me feel much better, because, you know, I had been having a hard time, and if it had been just me, it wouldn't make the whole thing even worse.
As far as you witnessing that orb that was as big as a semi-truck tire, before it hit the manhole cover, how would you describe its flight path?
Just straight, as if it was going to be going, like I say, it was going over the concrete part where they had torn out and they put in a new wire. Two summers ago, and so it was just making a straight line just right on that part there, because you could see as it was spinning backwards, you could hear it, and you could see the power just pulling up from the ground right there. And it just so happened that behind there, from where it came in at, is the main power box for the circuit box for the whole entire block here. So it was just in a straight path that wasn't going fast. I mean, probably a pace of a fast walk, slow jog. I could have put my hand out. I'm 6'4", and I could have put my hand out and touched it. Now, when it went by, even though it went by us and it went by and it shot off about 25 feet away, the whole thing, to me and my son, when we go in our head and we think back at it, when I go and I think about it in my head, I'm not thinking about it from that view. It seems like it was just stuck right in front of my face the whole entire time. But it wasn't, of course. But.
And what do you think made it go down to hit the manhole cover?
Well, it was using the magnetic energy from this bubble. And so anything that it was going to hit was just going to just give it this bam, not much more of a zap. And that iron plate, when that hit that, just arced it that much, man, just shot that much more power off of that. And then bam, it hit that, and then it shot over that power line. That's where the power came. Now, from that red stuff in the middle is what seemed to be the provider of the power of this ball, or this orb around it. Because the ball, the glass ball, just seemed to be, and it definitely wasn't glass. It had to be some type of something strong enough to hold that stuff, that plasma, because if it looked like it had If it looked like it crashed and cracked open the whole block, that for all I know, the state would have moved. So
when it hit the utility line, did it affect your utilities at all in the neighborhood?
You know, that I don't know, and it may have, because the gentleman that lives across the street, when the disc that was on the last part of the second sighting that my son had seen, and he had been witnessing for about 5 seconds, was sitting right above his house, and he's been the one neighbor I've confided in, and he's seen one, and he brought, just happened to bring that up about his bill. Because I get hard with the kilowatts and all that, and he's like, no way I could be using this amount of kilowatts and this, and so it seems to definitely be messing with our power, you know.
So you would think that it was drawing power into itself.
That's exactly what it was doing. It was. Sucking in every power source it could, whatever it was using the power source to propel itself onto another set of a power source to propel it again.
Are there any military bases near you?
Yeah, I got the armory here in Salem. It's just the National Guard. But I'm not far from Washington, from Boeing. So I'm not real far away from Boeing. So that wouldn't.
After
I'm not out of range for testing. That's for sure.
After you called MUFON, did you notice any interference on? Did anything happen to you that was out of the ordinary?
No.
And one other thing, have you or your son experienced any missing time that you know of, or has your son had nightmares or anything, or like having visitors, or yourself?
No, he hasn't, and I haven't really. Just been my uneasiness is going outside at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, watching you on the Kevin Smith Show, I'm watching it, and you appear to be very genuine when you're telling your story. And thank you, Kevin, for presenting me the opportunity to question Chris.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jerome. Pardon me. Well, you have an opportunity, like Jerome, if you have a question or a comment. Maybe you have had something similar happen to you, and like Chris, you've said, man, I wish there was somebody I could talk to about this, but I just don't feel like I can just talk to anybody about it. They'll think I'm nuts. Well, not here. This is your chance. 623-444-5889. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington.
Hi, Victoria.
And congratulations to your guests for coming forward and telling us this fabulous story. I mean, I know it's not a story, but this, you know, this reaccounting. And and I'd like to thank your son for having the nerve to, you know, tell us what his thoughts were too. And good for him. I'm really proud of him for having the courage to do that. And I just encourage you all not to be afraid to speak out, because if people say anything negative to you, and tell your son this too, just say, well, turn on the History Channel and watch one of those programs on there. They're about 10-15 years behind the curve, but at least you'll get some information. Educate yourself, you know, go watch TV, you know. So they have quite a few good things on there currently, which I'm kind of surprised that they're actually coming out. But I guess I wanted to ask what part of Oregon you were from, but now you answered that question. And the other thing I was wondering, Kevin asked you if you did a drawing. You said your son did one too. But do you happen to have that with you? And can you hold it up to the screen?
You know, yeah, I do. Matter of fact.
Oh, great. Can we see it?
Yeah, he's stepped away for just a moment, and he'll be back in front of the camera in just a moment. We'll be able to see it.
Well, yeah, because I kind of have a visual in my mind of what that might look like, but I want to see if that kind of matches what he's drawn. So it's always nice to have a visual.
Yeah.
And I can't believe you didn't ask him, Kevin.
I didn't know if it was okay, Kev. Sure, it's okay.
But see, the thing is, Victoria, I'm an old guy. I don't think of all the questions.
You do pretty darn good for an old guy.
Well, I try.
And I'll listen off the air. Thank you very much for telling us your accounting.
Hey, no problem at all.
All right, thanks, Victoria. All right, so let's see that picture.
Okay, this is my son's.
Okay.
Considering that his is kind of gives a little bit more of a. Well, it's better drying.
Anyway. Okay, so, let me ask you a question about this. What's this yellow band coming down underneath?
That was the sparks that it was pulling from out from underneath the ground. And the road would have been right here. It was just, I mean, you could just see the sparks just getting pulled. As this was going backwards.
Uh-huh.
As it was going backwards, and then it was going forward. As it was spinning, but you could just see the power back here. It just pulling, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so it looked like it was sort of vacuuming up electricity out of the.
Yeah,
of the
exactly.
Cable.
You hit it. You hit it right there.
Now that is interesting. You know, we've had accounts for years of UFOs that will hover over a lake and will vacuum up water out of the lake. This is the, I think I'm telling the truth, to the best of my knowledge I'm telling the truth, the first one that I have heard of where it was just sort of visibly vacuuming up energy out of a cable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, now this cable that they put under the road, it's a power line? Is it a television cable or what?
I don't know how much. You can read on that because it's such a. But see, right here, as I put the iron plate manhole right there, which was under, and then so.
I see.
Right, the wire, that line right there.
Yeah, what is that?
Underneath the road, that one, and then this wire right here, from where the bubble was, that was the road. So this other line down here was the wires. And that's where it was pulling from. Was the power was pulling from down underneath here.
Okay, so are those electrical wires, or is it television cable?
Like cable, fiber optic.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, they just put that in. They just torn up that part. Matter of fact, on the picture on the website, you can see the picture of the street, and you'll actually see the one spot there where they had that part tore off, and they had to. They had to re-blacktop it over, and yeah, that's exactly where it was going in. And like I say, it came in with the same noise as it arced off of. Mm-hmm. And then it just so happened that right here was the main generator for the block on the power, the big box on the street.
Okay, so this shaded area. On the back side of this orb, you mm-hmm. have a shaded area. That's the sparks coming up.
Yeah, that's the sparks coming up. Yeah, it's so much better on my son's. It's kind of more of a color to it.
Yeah, he has a little bit better artistic eye than you've got.
Yeah. He's definitely, I'm no Picasso by any means. But, yeah. And see the red speckle, or the yellow speckles in the middle there of the white?
Uh-huh.
That was like these, like, dust almost, like just a speckle of gold dust kind of in there. You know, that could have been almost like a micro dust.
Wow.
And, which might make me sense he's being a probe, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I say, then there was the bluish and the green around it. And then this, and of course, this wasn't all the way red, the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a little part of it was he colored. And like I say, that's when it was in a teardrop shape.
Uh-huh.
The liquid in the middle. And it was gone. And it's just that was the main thing that really took both of us in was that teardrop and that ball.
If that thing was a probe, it's interesting. That's a fiber optic line. It's pulling something, some kind of energy out of it. Maybe that's some alien's way of getting free cable TV.
Yeah, well, that's our alien way of probably interrupting your station every single time we're on here.
Yeah. Well, for now, that has settled down, and that's a good thing. Okay. Is Colt still there?
Yes, he is.
All right, Colt, let me get you to, if you don't mind, are you willing to answer a question for me?
Yes.
Okay, let me get you that. Yeah, okay, scoot over next to your dad just a little bit closer there. All right, let me ask you a question, Colt. When you saw this thing coming across the yard, did it scare you?
Well, not exactly. Like, I'm just, some people, it just kind of freaks them out when they see that type of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just the type of kind of kid, I was just, like, glued into it. I couldn't even say anything. I was just like, whoa.
So this was a whoa moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Do you think this was pretty cool?
Our very first words to each other when it took off.
I'm sorry, say it again?
That was our very first words to each other when, as soon as it took off, was whoa at the same time, matter of fact.
Uh-huh. Would you like to see one of these again, or is it kind of scary for you now?
No, I just think it's kind of just part of history. I think it's just kind of cool to look at and stuff, and I'm just kind of hoping I can see more.
Uh-huh. So do you think it's something that is from this planet, or do you think it's something that's from out in space somewhere?
I think it would be from out in space somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, before this happened, had you ever seen anything like this before?
Well, not really, no.
No?
Mm-mm.
Now, had your dad, a few days before this, your dad had seen a big, some kind of a strange object in the sky. Had you heard about that?
I never saw it, but he's told me about it, and that's how I've learned about it.
Okay, but had you heard it before you saw this orb?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what did you think when your dad told you about it? Did you think he was telling the truth or making up a story?
I thought he was telling the truth.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. You know, you're 9 years old, right?
Yep.
Would you believe I have a little boy that's just 1 year younger than you? He's almost as big as you. And yeah.
That's pretty
neat. Yeah. And all right, now Colt, one more question. You said it would be kind of cool if you could see one of these things again. What if all of your friends said, "Oh, Colt, you're crazy. This is nuts. You didn't see this." Would that bother you?
I'd say it would kind of bother me. I would probably just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
Uh-huh.
But other than, I think I'd just ignore them.
Well, you seem like you're a pretty grown-up kid.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he is. He even plays the fiddle.
Oh, is that right? You play the violin?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What kind of music do you play?
I have a few Irish songs.
Uh-huh, you like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he's got his fiddle right here.
Well, maybe on some other show we can, maybe some other time we'll get him to play for us.
Yeah.
All right. Cole, thank you.
Yep.
All right. And, Chris, if you'll swing that camera back your direction there, we're coming up on a break here in about, 2 or 3 minutes. Thanks for letting us talk with Colt. He's,
no problem at all.
Quite a sharp young man.
Yeah, he is, boy. That he is.
Yeah. What do you plan to do now? I mean, we've been on the air. We've been talking about this. Your story's out there. And by the way, my speech to whoever was messing with us, I guess they decided to ask their commanding officer about me, and they've decided to leave us alone for a minute or two here. That's good, because anybody with experience with this knows I'll track you down, and I will expose you. Light and cockroaches don't mix. All right. What do you think? Where do you go from here with this story?
There's a lot of things, obviously, I like to go. You know, the first thing is, you know, you see something like this, and the first thing in your mind is, you know, nobody's seen this. This is the biggest encounter ever. And the first thing you think is Hollywood, you know, or a book, or... That would be something I would like to do, obviously, so I could get my story out to everybody and let them know what these things are or what they, you know, they could be other things too, but to let people know what these orbs are and how these work and
how they're working, yeah,
technology and a lot of things.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we will be back, and I will open the telephone lines again. A reminder, flash messages will not work for you if you're in the United States. We have telephones for you. Same if you're in Canada, 623-444-5889, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Jansen, a.k.a. Brian from Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Chris Brown. The telephone lines are open, and the flash message board is open for those who are not in the USA and not in Canada. All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. So you can ask your question or make your comment. And Chris will talk with you, okay? And look, if you've had some similar experience and you're sitting out there and you're saying, oh, man, you know, I just feel like I'm going to explode if I can't talk to somebody about this. Well, here's your chance. Chris was in the same situation. And, you know, you it's true. On the one hand, you shouldn't be afraid to talk to people about it. On the other hand, it's true that it's kind of useless to talk to a lot of people about it because a lot of people are real mental mushrooms. And they perhaps some can't help that. Others are stupid because they choose to be. And it's a family tradition. They're proud of it. And by God, they're going to stay stupid. And they defy you. to bring them information they didn't already have. I know I've been dealing with that for 11 years, so I know that exists. So here's your opportunity, 623-444-5889, or our flash message option if you're outside of the United States or Canada. Let's go to our flash message board. We do have a flash message here from Ross in the United Kingdom. Hi, Kevin and Chris. And then he addresses this to you, Chris. And he says look, I know that you're spooked about going out after dark, but think of it like this. Imagine how someone, say from 1,000 years ago, must have felt if they saw a railway locomotive or a Formula One car from today. He said, I think that this may be a similar situation here. You've seen something that's, from our perspective, is strange and futuristic, but in 100 or so years, in 100 or so years' time, could be as normal as seeing an automobile today. So, you know, I think that's a good observation, Ross. What do you think about that, Chris?
I think that's great.
You think that's correct?
Yeah, it is. It's a perfect example.
If you could go back in time and, let's say just go back, 100 years. Go back 100 years and... let's say we could transport ourselves back to then and transport Cape Canaveral back and do a shuttle launch from Cape Canaveral. What would people think from 100 years ago if they were to see that? Just from 100... Go back 50 years. Now, 50 years ago, it would have been a little bit less shocking. But a shuttle? Why, nobody had ever dreamed of such a thing back then. And so it would have been not as shocking, but it would have been surprising. But 100 years ago, they would say that whoever did that was demon-possessed. That's of the devil. That's evil. There's witchcraft involved there. That's the way they deal with these things. And that's why I say a lot of people are mental mushrooms. A mental mushroom, Chris, is not someone who doesn't know. It's someone who doesn't know, doesn't want to know, and will fight against anybody who does know. That's a mental mushroom. And there's a lot of those people out there. So we were talking about where do you go from here? This would be a great episode for a TV show. This would be, and you got other witnesses that could be included in this. It would be a great book. I believe you told me that if it ever was going to be a book, you would have to have a ghostwriter, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we have some ghostwriters that are... watching the show or listening to the show, and maybe ghostwriter, you'd want to get in on doing this, and maybe do a screenplay as well, and maybe get a percentage of the proceeds. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good thing, and it truly is a movie made in Hollywood, a script made in Hollywood, and so. You know, if I could round up money, that'd be fantastic, because I truly believe in my heart that when I walked away with this, I walked away with a mission. And, you know, Mr. Steven Spielberg or George Lucas was sitting here and they heard this story right now, they'd do a backflip wanting to go another way to help me. So,
we have filmmakers that watch this show, so... there's just every possibility. Who knows? Okay. Now, this thing, this orb, was sucking up energy. I want to go back to that big disc. Now, it may interest you to know that I talked with someone today. As a matter of fact, I was talking with you when that someone called, and I told you who it was. We won't mention names right here. Not yet. Because he is going to come on the show and tell us about this. But a really big disc was seen just in the past few days over New York City. And there are multiple witnesses. They saw it fly over New York City, and it was moving very, very slowly. And so he's doing the investigation. He's interviewing people. He's getting the information. And we haven't seen, Chris, we haven't seen information about that out on the Internet yet. Have you seen any out on the Internet about that?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Could I get you to move a little bit closer to your microphone? There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you haven't seen anything on the Internet about this disc over New York City?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. I have to look.
Well, I don't think it's there. I scan that kind of information on the Internet every day. I haven't seen anything about this. But you remember when you and I were talking, and then that other call came in, and I told you who it was. So after you and I finished, I called him back, and he told me about this. And I'm not going to give very many details out about it right here, other than there are multiple witnesses. This thing was moving very slowly, and he's been able to get someone that's a professional at taking certain bits of information and being able to tell you about what size that was. And this thing was about 260 feet from side to side. So it was big.
Yeah.
Maybe not as big as what you were looking at, but it was big. When we go back to this disc, this was sort of your first introduction to seeing a UFO, I think. This was your first event, right?
Yeah, this is the first one.
Well, there's nothing like starting off big.
Yeah, boy, it was big.
Yeah. Okay, so did you see when you described the orb for us? You told us it was sort of vacuuming up energy. Did you sense that the big disc that you saw was doing anything particular? Was it vacuuming up something?
No, I didn't see anything of it. If it pulling any power from any place, no, I didn't see any of that. So it could have been pulling power from the field that it was in. You know.
Okay, we have a call, and it appears from looking at the monitor they've hung up. Let's see. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling? Hello? I was right. They hung up. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Get some courage. Get off of the couch. Get to the telephone and put those numbers in that order. It will transport you right here to the studio, and you can make your comment or ask your question of our guest, Chris Brown. You know, part of the Real People series of shows that we've done is part of the reason for that is so that you can see and hear, ladies and gentlemen, that it's people just like you, people just like you, that see and experience these things that you see and experience, but maybe you've been afraid to talk about them. To the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Snake Man Jeff calling from Montreal, Canada. How are you this evening, sir?
Outstanding. How are you, Snake Man?
Hoo-ah. Good to hear, Kevin. Outstanding as usual. Great show. Chris Brown, I wanted to ask you a quick question, if I could, sir.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the case in California where they were, that some gentleman was taking pictures of extraterrestrial craft that were appearing, and the very exotic looking craft, and then it disappeared from the public, and apparently he may have been murdered, and two detectives are on his case right now?
No, Kevin,
are you familiar with that story?
No, I'm not.
Not familiar with that story.
These craft were taken over, usually over telephone wires, and they were taken in California in valleys near an Air Force base. And they had actually markings on the craft, and the summation was from the photographers that these craft were cloaking and uncloaking because of probably the military frequencies probably disrupting their cloaking ability, and these craft were appearing. I'm surprised. I'll send you some links, Kevin, on Facebook about this, and I thought, Chris, that perhaps you'd come across this because I was just wondering what has happened to these individuals that have taken these pictures, because apparently they've disappeared, and two ex-LAPD detectives are on the case and have been for a couple of years. I'm sure your listeners will know about this. So I just thought I'd pique your mind, Chris, and find out if you knew anything about it. And
no, I don't. But now I'll have to watch out for the police detectives hanging around my neighborhood. But no, other than that, I hadn't heard. But
okay, Jeff, let me ask you a question. The markings that were on these craft that showed up in the photographs, what kind of markings? Were they identifiable?
You know, this is the odd thing about it, and I'm just going to my pictures gallery right now, so I can upload them to you folks on Facebook at Kevin Smith Show, because the markings are they're remarkable in the sense that they look like something, but they're like hieroglyphics.
All right, hang on, because we have a break taking over, and we'll get back to you right after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. More after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show, and thankfully the radio streams settled down. Whoever was bothering us has decided to give it up for the evening. On the telephone with us from Montreal, Canada, we have Snake Man Jeff, and we were talking, Jeff, about those markings. You said there were some sort of markings that looked kind of like hieroglyphics.
Correct. And I've just posted it on your Kevin Smith Facebook page under, I guess on your wall. There's a story from FoxNews.com, report, Private Eyes on a Case After UFO Photographer Vanishes, Science News, Science and Technology. Now, this is about a three-year-old story, but I figured that someone as wise and as experienced as you and Chris have been following this, and I'm sure you'll, as soon as you see the photo, you go, oh, that one.
Oh, very possibly.
It's on your page right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you doing that, and that gives me a great opportunity to say to everyone listening, come be a friend over at my Facebook. Now, the easy way to find my page, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down on the left side where the menu is, and you'll see Kevin's Facebook. Click it. It'll take you right there. Come be my friend.
Just wanted to thank you. And by the way, the music has been extraordinarily great in the last couple of weeks. I've been listening. I'm really enjoying your show.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great night, guys.
No problem. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
All right. That last song, by the way, that's one of our members. Very talented group we have. We have people that are musicians and artists and all kinds of things. All right, to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Scott in L.A.
Hello, Scott in L.A.
Yeah, Chris, I have to apologize. I missed the beginning of the show. I'll catch it on the podcast. But I was just wondering if you have a website that I could go and find out more information.
No, I don't. I don't. It's all on the MUFON report. It's just pretty much it. Most everything.
What he's talking about report is the MUFON report.
Yeah, I don't have a separate website or anything. So
okay, I can find it and I'll listen to the podcast later. And Kevin, I think what the previous caller was talking about, you've probably heard of these drones.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know about that.
That's what he's talking about. I recall that there were a couple of retired cops that were investigating it.
Okay,
I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, thanks much.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I remember that story. Sure. Well, and folks, you know, Chris, he's not selling a book. He's not peddling a movie. I mean, we would like for this to make it out there to a book or a movie, but I mean, he's just one of us. And this happened to him. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hey, Chris, I have one question for you.
Sure.
Up until now, you have been reading about and listening to Kevin's show, reading about UFOs and listening to Kevin's shows. Now, how has this affected your outlook?
Well, it's affected my outlook in a lot of ways, you know. I just don't take life as so short now. I try to make sure that everything around me is, well, for one thing, not any UFO around me, and my heart with God seems to be closer, because I do pray every night. I might be praying for him to never come back, but... So it has. It's definitely affected me. I was into UFOs. I watched shows like a lot of us. But until it happens to you, then you're... You know, it's such a hard thing to try to describe, you know?
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. It's gotten easier to talk about. Before, it's kind of been something that you get... I get talking about it and I shake and I get worked up, but it's gotten better now. I've gotten used to past the time, really. It's so been so kind of fresh. It's only been since August. So
yeah. Well, I hope you get over it. I don't mean to say that in a negative way. Hope you get past it. How's that sound?
Yeah, I will, man. Thanks to Kevin and all you guys listening and all that. Makes me feel that much better. Makes me feel that much better.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're going to have to make that our last call for the evening because we're just about out of time. Let me say this, folks. We have in our members community forums. This is a great place for you to put your experiences, your encounters, discuss them with other people, go to the forums, and get active in there. All right? It's there for you. We got lots of members that never make it to the forums. It's only a click away, folks. That's all. To our new members, those of you who have just joined, let me remind you, be sure you read the new members' info. If you don't read the new members' info, you'll be swearing that things, you'll be swearing, and you'll be swearing that there are things at our site that don't work. They do work. You have to, I mean, we have some security issues, and so you got to know how to get through those, okay? We have to do that. For instance, forums were just getting flooded with spam messages from overseas. Well, we had to install some security measures for that to stop that from happening. And so read the new members' info. It gives you everything you need to be able to function and navigate. Chris, I want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. And is Colt still there?
Yeah, he's here.
Hi, Colt, thank you for talking with us this evening as well.
You too.
And, you know, all I would say, I mean, Colt looks like he's handling this real well.
Yeah.
All I would say is, you know, I've got a little mantra that people who think you don't matter, don't matter. People who think you're nuts are nuts. So, you know, I wouldn't let what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says about this, I wouldn't let it bother me at all. Because people who think you're nuts are nuts. And if they think you're a moron, they are morons. And so, you know, it doesn't reflect on you at all. Do you think, one last quick question, do you think things are leveling out for you now?
Yeah, they are. They are finally leveling out. I don't think about it constantly like I had for the last 3 months. It's really, you know, I can go without thinking about it maybe 5-6 times a day rather than just on my mind, just can't leave, and finding yourself literally banging your head up against the wall trying to get out of your head. But
yeah, okay. So it's kind of returning to normal now.
Yeah, it is. I've gotten back to the old Chris Brown. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's good. Chris, if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring this to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Brown, and we are privileged that he has decided to share with us his story, and wasn't it interesting to hear from Colt as well? All right, that's going to do it for this evening. This is K-Files Night. If you haven't subscribed, get on it right now so you'll get this week's edition of the K-Files, all right? It's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you decide to do so. We have another great week lined up for next week. You want to be here for every one of those shows. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.